This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crazy, crazy night for Luka Doncic, a triple-double. Lakers beat the Mavericks in what was round one, Pearl, of the Luka Revenge Tour, and that one goes to L.A. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You know, but the Lakers aren't the only team who added to their roster at the trade deadline and now look like they have gotten new life and look like a real contender. It's also the Golden State Warriors. So we're asking you today, who do you trust more to make a finals run? Would it be the Golden State Warriors now with Jimmy Buckets, Jimmy Butler, or Luka Doncic and the LA Lakers?
Yeah, I was looking at the NBA futures, and both those teams have moved up dramatically. I mean, they're still fifth and sixth, but it does seem like we were not talking about them as title contenders at all. In fact, I said something about the odds of J.J. Redick being an NBA championship winning coach this year seemed 0.0 to me. I was wrong. I mean, they're in the mix because the NBA is all about matchups in the West, and both teams have, if they get the right path, that's the thing. If they don't get the right path, they're dead. So right now, the Lakers are sixth and the Warriors are seventh in odds. But ironically, below the Knicks, which is bizarre. But it goes Celtics, Thunder, Cavs, Nuggets, Knicks, then Lakers and Warriors. So they're right there.
Yeah, and as far as seeds go, L.A. holding down the fourth seed right now in the West. The Lakers have the eighth seed. So the Warriors certainly have some more work to do. But if you're asking me who do I trust more, I'm going to go with Golden State. And I know Luka's an all-world player and LeBron speaks for himself. But I've already watched the core of Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, once upon a time Klay Thompson, but he's obviously on Dallas now, and now with Jimmy Butler. But I've seen the core for the Warriors. I've seen that work over and over again, where the cast of characters can change a little bit around those peripheral guys, Pearl, but they've been able to get it done. And I think Jimmy Butler adds a completely different element to the Warriors defensively. He and Draymond together, that is dynamite. So, you know, I never really worried about the Warriors scoring because Steph Curry is so unreal even still. But now they don't have to even worry when Steph has to take a seat and take a break. That used to be when the Warriors would implode, but with Jimmy Butler now to work as, you know, to continue, like, there's none of these lapses, none of these lulls. No Steph Curry comes back in the game and now it's a 10-point deficit and he's got to shoot their way out of it. Like, I'm so impressed with the Warriors. Mm. And you're talking about, you thought J.J. Redick was never going to be a great coach, and I was with you on that. I was so over Jimmy Butler. It was the drama in Miami. I just didn't care anymore. Everyone seemed at fault. But it's like the basketball part of this and Jimmy Butler with a chip on his shoulder. We're seeing the fruits of that right now.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, I know this defense is working now, but like what happens if they get the Nuggets in the first round? Or what happens if they get the Thunder, who are gigantic? I hear you. I just wonder if now the height is a problem. Because who's getting, like, I know Kuminga's whatever. It's just gonna be hard to match up with some of these teams. It's a matchup oriented league. The other thing too is I love, and our executive producer EJ talks like this. You know, there's only one team that can come out of the West. He's like, oh, the Lakers are awesome. Warriors are awesome. This is the Thunder. Like, we got to pick one. That's the problem. Like, there are so many good contenders. We're talking about the Warriors and the Lakers here. Yeah, we could also talk about the Grizzlies. We could also talk about the Nuggets. We could also talk about the Thunder.
Okay.
This is going to be a brutal, brutal path. That's why I'm saying, like, yes, this Warriors thing is working now, but is it good enough to get past one of these great teams?
Well, that's why the question is, who do you trust?
Okay.
Because I don't think people trust the Grizzlies yet. I don't know if they trust Oklahoma City yet. You know, there's like a proof of concept that we haven't seen with some of these teams because they're young, as opposed to the Warriors, who've got banners hanging all over their arena because they've shown what they can do. And add Jimmy Butler to it, even at his age, it's been gangbusters. So I trust them more. Like, again, yeah. Even J.J. Redick looks like he's a really good coach, and that's great for him. Never coached a playoff series yet. Steve Kerr may go down as one of the great coaches of all time. So I trust the Warriors more.
That's it. But if I put you to it right now, I'm like, I'll give you one team to come out of the West. Would you take the Warriors over the Thunder?
I think I'd take the Nuggets, actually. But for the purposes of this exercise, I'm taking the Warriors that I trust more than the Lakers.
But I understand your distinction of trust, but like, give me the Thunder. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, of course I trust Steph Curry and LeBron because they've done a million, especially LeBron. I mean, geez. But I still want the Thunder. I think that those young teams are right there with them. And that's obviously not a hot take. They're heavy, heavy favorites in the West. This is going to be amazing to watch.
Okay, you are welcome to weigh in on that, 855-212-4227. We're asking you also on X, our poll question, who do you trust more to make a finals run? New look Lakers, new look Golden State Warriors. Let us know what you think. All right, it is Wednesday. Doing a little bit different time. Let's get to the great debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay. Frola. The NFL Scouting Combine is here, which is fun, but you know what it means. It means we got a long time till we get NFL games again.
Hey, yeah, true. Yeah.
This is the very, very beginning of the offseason. So for today's great debate, because we're a tiny bit depressed because we're not going to get NFL games for so long, let's take a look back on the season that was. Today's great debate, what was the best moment from the 2024 NFL season, the one that just wrapped up?
Best moment, okay.
The best moment, not the best game, not the best this or that, the best moment from the season that we just watched.
All right, I'll get us started off here. It's got to be, since we're not talking about, like, obviously winning the Super Bowl and hoisting Lombardi Trophy, that happens every year. What is unique about this year, the one play that stands out is clearly Saquon Barkley.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and jumps down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
It's unbelievable. He obviously hurdled a guy backwards. Is that how we describe it?
Yeah, the most incredible hurdle.
Most incredible play I've seen a running back since I can't remember. It goes down in probably one of the top five plays in a sense. Like Odell Beckham one-handed catch comes to mind. Maybe a Patrick Mahomes no-look pass. It's just an incredible, singular play. To me, that was a moment of the year. And also, it works out narrative-wise because Saquon went on to lead the Eagles to the Super Bowl. So for me, that is a no-brainer as a moment of the year, and it will go down in NFL history.
All right, we're talking about the great debate today. What was the greatest moment from the 2024 NFL season? And I'll go next, and there's a lot of layers to this one, but the greatest moment of the season was Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary against the Chicago Bears.
They bring three. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up. Fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is
touchdown! My friend Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio. That was amazing. So a couple things and why this is the best moment. First of all, Commanders had just gone down in this game because the Bears had scored with a pass interference penalty to put the ball at the 1 yard line. So then it was a kick return that got the ball to like the 24, and Jaden Daniels in three plays got the Commanders into the end zone. And again, why this is so important is because this was Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams. And Jaden Daniels, this was one of the moments, Pearl, just one, but I think the most important, where people started to think, huh, did we have this wrong? That Caleb Williams was the generational talent and Jaden Daniels was number two. And now we've seen how great Jaden Daniels is.
Yeah.
This was an all-time moment of the year, because Jaden Daniels was one of the biggest stories of the year. The Hail Mary. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, there's Hail Marys every year, but you're right. The narrative point where it was like a fork in the road. And after this, the Bears fell apart and the Commanders took off.
No doubt. Okay, Manny, we're doing great debate today. What was the best moment of the 2024 football season that we just saw?
Let me take it back to December 1st. A team in the AFC East doing pretty well at home in the snow, taking on the San Francisco 49ers.
Takes the snap, quick hitter, thrown behind, but somehow caught, and now lateral to Allen, and reaching for the pylon. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown! Unbelievable!
Unbelievable indeed, Chris Brown on Bills Radio Network. Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen underneath center, quick pass to Cooper, to Amari Cooper, wasn't a great throw. Cooper immediately gets wrapped up, and he has the wits to see Josh Allen, who's just behind him, pitches it back to him, a little pitchy-pitchy woo-hoo, and touchdown Bills.
This was, I think, the first moment where Josh Allen, I don't know if he took the lead in the odds, but this was the first moment was like Josh Allen's winning the MVP this year, and then he did hang on to win.
Yeah, then we all thought Lamar had it. So
yeah, because he got first-team All-Pro, yeah.
Manny already has Peach job, right? Like, full-time, like, that's official? Why are you kissing up to Maggie?
Oh, you see, here we go. I have
a real man plays
I have history in the 716. I have history in the
716. The 2024 season, not the 1990 season.
I've been to whatever they're calling it nowadays down in Orchard Park, that old stadium. Have you been over there? That's why. Go Bills.
Thank you, Manny. Ray, you got one for us?
Go Bills,
great
Maggie.
Debate. The best moment of the season that we just watched in the NFL.
I do have one. It's the Week 18 matchup, the battles Sunday night. NFC North showdown, 2-14 and two teams. Minnesota Vikings putting on a defensive masterclass.
Three receivers left. Goff back in the shotgun. Gibbs in the game to his right. Goff gets the snap. Hand off Gibbs. Running left. Cuts it up. Lowers his shoulder. Powering his way to the one. Gets a shove. He's in the end zone. Touchdown, Lions. Fourth touchdown tonight for Jahmyr Gibbs.
The Vikings came out, locked down. The Lions locked down the Vikings defense. Hell of a performance. 18 of 41 passing for Sam Darnold. Looks like a fraud. Money's in question now. Everything went out the window for Sam Darnold on that Sunday night matchup. And we thought the Vikings would be the favorites. Not the Vikings. Keep saying the Vikings. The Lions would be the favorite going to the Super Bowl. Didn't quite work out, but that Sunday night performance stood out to me because the defense locked down Justin Jefferson. Very impressive performance.
Oh, man. I felt so bad for Sam Darnold. All this great momentum was lost in that two-week period. That game and the next game.
Yeah, little did we know what he was going to look like against the Rams. So that is the Lions winning 31-9 Week 18 over the Vikings. The great debate today, the best moment of the 2024 season. Bogish, take us home.
I'm going light. I'm going fun. And like Manny, I'm going into the snow. Pre-game, though, with one of the greatest interviews ever, it's Jameis Winston on Prime.
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
No, thank you.
The horses are preparing for battle.
They won that game, right?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Amazing.
I thought that would have been Manny's pick because he drops in the name of the arena.
That would be a stadium, but that's neither
stadium,
here nor
whatever.
There.
You know what I mean? That's a good one. Jameis is always stealing everyone's spotlight.
I watch a lot of videos of plays of the year, by the way. If you're going to funny, the funniest one, and I'll give it even funnier than that, Do you remember when the Colts did a trick play and the Broncos blew it up and the guy got a pick six? Do you remember that? Nick Benito. The Colts did
a throwback, right?
Did a throwback, and the Broncos' Nick Benito was super fast, ran and did it. Remember, we were laughing so hard on Monday about this trick plays going awry, but nobody did the Jared Goff fumble.
The stumble bum.
That could be good, too.
The stumble bum was a good one. Well, Ray went with the Lions, but he went with their defensive performance against the Vikings in Week 18. The stumble bum was an all-time moment. You could see the fans realize, like, oh, this is on purpose. Like, oh, no, he didn't just almost fall and fumble. Yes. This is actually a bit that he's doing out on the field.
I also thought of Jahmyr Gibbs, the video game run. Have you guys ever seen that one? Where it's a run he had where they put it to video game music and you could actually, they put on the graphics. Jahmyr Gibbs, to me, was him and Saquon were the story of the year.
Although the Falcons also have that great, I don't know what it is, like they have a camera from up above, and there's one early season Bijan touchdown, and it's like, I don't understand how it happens.
That was amazing.
All right, well, let us know, who do you think had the best moment of the 2024 NFL season, the one we just watched? 855-212-4227. Maybe we forgot a couple. Go ahead.
Super Bowl is not even in this because the game wasn't close. Like, no one's going to Super Bowl unless you're an Eagles fan.
Yeah, well, you could have.
I'm a Giants fan. We're not picking anything about the Eagles.
Well, that's fine. But I think that the other moment, if it was going to be most memorable moment of the season, we're doing best moment. If it was most memorable, I think you have to hand it to Matt Eberflus. The botched time management, didn't call a timeout because it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
First game of the Thanksgiving slate. And the fact that the Bears had gotten themselves back into that game against the Lions, like, they were going to win that game if Eberflus just calls a timeout and he let the clock expire. I think that was the most memorable moment of the season because so many people, I think, were watching that game because it was a holiday.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue my Saquon Barkley doing the reverse hurdle will be memorialized forever. Everyone's going to know that.
But it wasn't a primetime game, right? It just in the... It was amongst the other games.
Like, right, but it'll be in Nike ads for the rest of the time. Probably. That's like we'll know it 50 years from now. People know that play. Probably. People will forget Eberflus existed, except for that funny name. But no, you're right. That was a... And they fired him immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
That was a massive, massive situation.
This was the whole country. Well, it's kind of commonplace now, but back in November, it wasn't. Where you're just like in favor of somebody getting fired on a holiday. It's like, it's a family holiday. Like, that guy's and his family, you got to get their stuff and get out.
Was there any playoff moment? Were the playoffs that bad? They must have been. I had one play where Patrick Mahomes was falling to the ground and threw it in the end zone. That was awesome.
Yeah, we didn't have a game-ending play in the postseason, right? No, nobody won on the last play.
Well, the Mark Andrews.
Mark Andrews drop. I mean, the Bills couldn't convert on a...
They were negative.
There was no walk-off field goal, nothing like that.
No, I mean, you're right. You had the bad spot on the Josh Allen fourth down play, and you had Mark Andrews dropping the ball. The historic
last
moment.
Play with the Rams versus the Eagles where Stafford misses that pass and you guys get out of there.
Yeah,
in the snow.
Somebody forgot to block Jalen Carter. Yeah, not a good decision. But we think about it. The playoffs weren't that awesome, were they?
I mean, I think, listen, they were interesting because the Commanders went into Detroit and beat the Lions. So
that was good.
That was pretty good.
But you need a close Super Bowl. That was actually... I imagine a little disappointing for neutral fans like that. Did the average fan even stay to the end of the Super Bowl?
By the way, news came out yesterday about the Super Bowl. Did you hear this?
No.
Got something for you on the other side, but you let us know who wins this great debate. Who had the best moment of the 2024 season? What was the best moment of the football season we just watched? 855-212-4227.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, Maggie, you promised some Super Bowl news.
Yeah.
I assume it's something about somebody over-celebrating in Philadelphia or something like that, or is it actually about the game?
No, actually about the game. So yesterday, you know, the NFL scouting combine started in Indianapolis. So Brett Veach, the GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, the losing side of the Super Bowl, sat down with NFL Network and let us know something about Travis Kelce from that game.
We're never going to make excuses and talk about it, but I mean, he was battling with pretty big illness there for the Super Bowl. But
Travis Kelce, pretty big illness before the Super Bowl. At least explains why he played so poorly, Pearl. Mm. I was always waiting for something to come out like, oh, maybe the flu was running through the Kansas City Chiefs like it ran through the Eagles. Allegedly.
Yeah. The Eagles were faking that the entire time, by the way.
I think they must have been because everyone was playing with their hair on fire.
Well, Jalen Carter was I told you this, like Jalen Carter was listed as possibly sick and everyone said, oh yeah, he was at the big team party on Friday night dancing. So he clearly was fine. I think that's an excuse, but like how sick was he? Like can't you, aren't there things that athletes can do to get ready for the game? Just pump a bunch of drugs into you.
I think maybe he was. What do you do? Like the vitamin B shots and...
Yeah. I'm surprised.
What do they call that when they put the...
An IV?
An IV in your arm.
Also, too, like, we talked about this. I've actually thought about this a lot since Super Bowl. Did Travis Kelce really play that bad?
Yes. Like, he looked bad. He looked like he was sick. He looked like he had been up all night, like, puking and whatever, and he had nothing left in it to give. He was completely devoid of energy.
But he had six targets, and he caught four of them, and two of them were ditched in the ground. One time he ran into Xavier Worthy when they were crossing. That got a lot of attention. But did that even matter? Like, they could not block the Eagles' defensive line, so Mahomes had no time to get it. That.
Listen, it's not the reason they lost. They got smoked in the game.
He had no chance. Like, even if Travis Kelce was 100% healthy and, quote-unquote, was ready to go out of the game, what difference does it make? How were they going to get the ball to Kelce when they could not block anybody?
But probably he had no yards after the catch either. Right. I mean, Kelce...
Because of the pressure, because the Eagles were only rushing four, they had tons of guys who were in the mid-level where him, like, Kelce had no chance in that game, even if he was healthy. That's my point, because of the pass rush. Like, that was... There was no offensive weapon who could do anything there.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think anyone's saying that they would have won if he was healthy, but to me, one of the more striking things about the Chiefs was body language. They looked cooked early, and every time he just walked back to the sideline.
Yeah.
He had no spunk, no energy, no nothing. So for him, if he was ravaged by like a flu or something, it would make sense as to why he looked the way he did, regardless of stats.
Remember 2 years ago when he almost bumped Andy Reid and Reid almost fell over on the sideline? Yeah. Like he was so jacked up. You didn't get any of that.
Nothing.
Right. But I mean, the game before he had two catches for 18 yards, right? He didn't do anything.
He didn't do a lot against the Bills, but he did. I had a really good game against Houston.
Right. So anyway, my point was like I don't even think he played that bad. I'm not saying that it's not an excuse. I'm like it didn't really matter. I mean, and they could not block the Eagles. That was the narrative of this game, and I think Veach was saying that. Like, there's no excuse.
Meanwhile,
even if they were sick, that was just a basically barn release towards a quarterback.
I wonder if he was the only one, though. There's more here from Brett Veach. When it comes to Travis Kelce, he expects him to be back.
Travis communicated to us that, you know, he had every intention on playing. And as far as a deadline, I mean, I just spoke with our local media. You know, we're anticipating Travis playing and coming back and hopefully having a great season to potentially end an unbelievable career. If that changes, then it changes.
Okay, get ready for the Travis Kelce farewell tour. This will be the last hurrah. I'm a little surprised that this wasn't announced on the podcast. Big miss for New Heights. You can't let the GM take your thunder there.
But wait.
That'd be the most downloaded episode of all time. Won't he come back episode.
So wait, I kind of heard that as...
We assume he's coming back.
Yeah. I didn't hear like, that's not like saying I'm definitely coming back. Like maybe Travis is going to be, he could still hang it up, right?
He said he told us, didn't he?
Yeah, but he said after the season, didn't he say every intention? Was that you? It felt a little like there was at least an open door.
All right, play it again.
Yeah, play it again.
Travis communicated to us that, you know, he had every intention on playing. And as far as a deadline, I mean, I just spoke with our local media.
Every intention to play.
Right,
you know, we're anticipating Travis playing and coming back and hopefully having a great season to potentially end a... Yeah.
Yep, got it.
Don't you speak every intention. I have every intention of running a marathon this fall.
You do
fall.
Not. You have no intentions of running a
every
marathon.
Every intention is definitely like, that's definitely not a finite. That's a door open set. I speak GM. He has every intention. Is not me. Like, Travis didn't. He should have said, Travis Kelce said he's definitely coming back. I did not hear that. You heard that he's definitely coming back?
I mean, maybe.
Did you hear what I heard? Or?
I would say that there's still room for Travis to make a decision and announcement on the podcast. I don't think this is like, okay, this is now settled. We can stop wondering what Travis is going to do.
I think actually the GM was like in a position where he's like, well, I got to say this. We don't really know what Travis is going to do, but I got to say he's coming back because I can't say it's open.
Why? You could just say this is Travis's decision. He's still making it. There was a million ways to handle that as opposed to being that's very positive trending. If he really didn't know, when he say, listen, Travis is going to take his time and and we're going to let him take his time.
Because he said right after the season, so we assume the Monday, he said Travis had every intention. And then Travis came out like a couple days later and said, I'm going to give it some time after that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear it that way. Okay, Bogues.
I mean, he's definitely coming back anyway. Like, why? I never thought he was going to retire. He had 118 yards like two games before. By the way, that fake Gronk coming back headline, I was totally shocked by that, except for one thing. Gronk's 35.
Yeah.
He's only 35 years old. He's been retired for he retired the first time like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think he's almost Hall of Fame eligible.
Yeah, he might be.
Not this one, but maybe the one after, like 2027.
Well, he and Brady could go in the same one.
No, I think he was done a year before. He didn't do the last year Brady did.
And he's only 35.
Yeah.
And
but
Cam
his back fell apart.
Tell me once again, how old is Cam Newton?
13.
I think Cam Newton's 35.
Cam Newton, younger than Sam Darnold. I'm just kidding.
Luka Doncic missed 11 of 17 shots. Good for just 19 points, but he added 15 rebounds, 12 assists in his first game against the Mavs. The Lakers winning in L.A. 107-99. Jason Kidd liked it when Luka did that for him.
You know, he fills up the stat sheet like no other player. So I think he had a triple-double. He can find his teammates, and his teammates deliver tonight.
One of those teammates, LeBron, scored 16 of his 27 in the fourth to help L.A. hold off Dallas. The Suns had 5 20-point scores last night in Memphis, including a season-high 23 from Bol Bol. But the Grizzlies won, 151-148 in overtime. Ja Morant, 28 points and 9 assists. The Cavalier win streak is 8 after a 122-82 rout in Orlando. The Celtics, 111-101 winners in Toronto. That's 6 in a row for Boston. The Bucks, 4-game win streak ending in Houston, 197. A 26-point first half lead wasn't enough for Georgia. They needed a go-ahead 3 from Blue Kane with 47 seconds left to take down third-ranked Florida, 88-83. Second-ranked Duke handled Miami, 97-60. Con Knipple scored 20. And number 6, Alabama, hit 22 threes in a 111-73 thumping of number 24, Mississippi State.
I'm sorry, can we talk for a second about how many teams the SEC is going to get into this tournament?
13, probably.
Because that Georgia win now puts Georgia, went from like the next 4 out to the first 4 out or whatever, the first 15 out to the first 20 out. Anyway, if they have one more win, I think they're in. So Georgia has 17 wins or something, and that's a lot of SEC teams, dude.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're all good, but at some point you just think you can't sell me on that's better than putting in a second or a third team from a next level conference, a second level conference.
I mean, you're totally right. The numbers, we all know the numbers, right? Basically, in tournament play since January 1st, the whole conference only 500. Still one of the great jokes.
Was not a joke. Carl Ravage.
It was Fraschilla did it too.
Fraschilla did it, I think, to make fun of Carl Ravage, because Carl didn't know what he was doing when he said that in the first place.
Oh, no, yeah. There was a, I think, I'll find this. I think Fran Fraschilla or somebody, some major analyst for ESPN was citing, not just Ravage, like an NBA guy, was citing this as evidence that the SEC is overrated.
Yeah, because they've gone 500 in conference play.
It was a joke from part of my take, right?
So Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Mizzou, A&M, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Mississippi State.
All ranked teams.
Yeah. And then, who else is getting in here? Next is Vandy, Arkansas, Texas, and Georgia.
I think Texas and Arkansas are bubble teams, and Georgia is like bubble adjacent.
Super bubble. Yeah. Bananas. SEC, man. Basketball conference. Who knew?
Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell said yesterday J.J. McCarthy and his knee could be cleared for April workouts. GM Kwesi Adofo-Mensah said McCarthy learned a lot while not playing this past season.
He's conversational in our language, in our offensive language, understanding the why, the intent behind things. You want to be able to go out there and play free and let his talent take over. And so all these steps, all the learning he's done in this past year is going to allow him to be able to do that. We're excited about the makeup of him. He's been everything we want him to be, and we're excited about his future.
The future, though, the direct future remains uncertain. The Vikes not tipping their hands yet on how they will handle Sam Darnold's free agency.
And there's only one thing to do here with Darnold. You got to franchise tag him and then trade him. if you really believe in McCarthy, but why you wouldn't franchise tag him and let him walk for what, just a comp pick when you could probably get a lot more for him considering this quarterback market, no?
Yeah, I saw a rap sheet say that that's the way they're leaning, but I would keep him. Because I
or
think
you could franchise tag him and keep him.
Yeah, I mean, because you're going to go with Cousins, or, well, you're not going Cousins, but you're going to go with Aaron Rodgers. You already know Sam Darnold knows the offense really well. I would just, if you're going with a bridge guy, why not just bridge him? I like it 1 year. It's not that much money.
That's an expensive franchise tag, though.
What is it, 42 or something?
40. 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nothing for me. That's, I don't know.
How, Daniel why Jones is money.
How is it only 40 when there's eight quarterbacks getting over 50?
Maybe the odds are different, but your salary cap went up again. I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't franchise tag. And people are like, oh, so Sam can go get a long-term deal somewhere. What do the Vikings care about that? Like, this is good business.
I thought the Vikings said out loud last week that they were not going to tag him. Or is that another, a different whisper? That the one that they wouldn't do is tag him? But, I mean, I guess you run the risk of, what if you don't find a trade and then you're paying him $40 million to do what? Back up J.J. McCarthy or play over?
Well, he's a free agent. There's,
but if you, tag him and then you can't trade him, then he's yours.
Keep him, yeah.
Well, I guess you could rescind the tag.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can always remove it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think just having him there is, sounds like that way you take away the headache of, you know, I think they want Sam Darnold to play next year, right? Like, they don't want to go to J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, I think they do want to go to McCarthy.
You kind of ruin the kid if you have Darnold hovering, though.
So, but I think O'Connell wants a veteran. If you're a coach, you want the guy who you've seen him do it.
But think about, like, all the teams that are going to end up being quarterback needy here. You know, well, Tennessee and Cleveland get their pick. What about the Giants? What about the Raiders? What about the Jets? What about New Orleans? Do they have a guy for the future? You know, are the Dallas Cowboys thinking about life after Dak Prescott? I could go on and on and on.
You mean for Darnold?
Yeah, I'm just talking about anybody. Indianapolis, the Jets wouldn't be for Darnold, but Indianapolis, they just talked about how they want competition for Anthony Richardson, you know?
Right. Well, I mean,
what's going on with Geno in Seattle? Is anyone paying attention to those rumors about Geno's agents suddenly are getting...
Oh, I thought they were in love with Geno there. I thought that was the narrative.
A report that now Geno's agents are getting aggressive. Now, I don't know who's putting out that report, but...
I think if you bring in Sam Darnold, say you're the Colts, you got to commit to him, right? You got to redo your deal 3 years, $140 million.
That's
a really giving up on Anthony Richardson. I tell you, Sam Darnold and the Vikings is the perfect match. We saw it work last year. They were 14-3. Then it didn't, but their O-line got hurt. And they could protect him.
Well, but yeah, but that the only one didn't get hurt for the last two games. Darrish was out for a long time, and he still was carving people up. Those last two games were
they couldn't protect
about
him at all.
Sam Darnold.
He was getting mauled in those.
Yeah,
games.
I don't know. I think they probably secretly would love for somebody to give him a huge, ridiculous contract, and they could just go, "Oh, we can't afford that," and then it's not their fault that he's gone.
Also, JJ's a top 10 pick. You're gonna say no? Forget it. We are bad.
Right. They didn't take him by accident. They took him at 10.
They traded up.
Right.
Yeah,
they wanted him.
Just look at Green Bay. You know, they let Rodgers sit. They let Love sit, and it worked out. Sort of.
Hockey last night, the Washington Capitals lost, but who cares, because Alex Ovechkin did this.
Near side for Carlson. There's a shot. He scores, and it's Alex Ovechkin. On the left side, he crossed up Ladar on a shot from the office. That's what they came to see. It's goal 883.
John Walton, Capitals Radio, 883 career goals means Ovechkin needs just 12 now to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time. The Sabres beat the Ducks last night 3-2. Buffalo's hot. They've won 6-7 to remain last in the Eastern Conference. Maggie, back to you.
Thank you, folks. Sneaking that in there. Coming up, we've been talking about it. You can still vote on our poll. Who do you have more trust could make the NBA Finals? The Warriors post Jimmy Buckets trade or the Lakers now with LeBron and Luka Doncic? 855-212-4227. Also, we could have another reunion in the NFL. Sit tight.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Shopping for a new team. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's abundantly clear they've parted ways. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets are over. But Pearl, here is Aaron Glenn, the new head coach of the New York Jets, who was at the podium yesterday and had to answer questions about some of Rodgers' former teammates on the Jets being unhappy that the team showed him the door.
Reaction of the players. But I will say this.
every decision that me and Mooch make is to win, and to win now. So I understand it, but again, listen, this is not going to be the last decision I make, right? That's going to upset some people. And that's okay, right? But as men, we talk about it. We make sure we keep it in house that we're going to continue to do.
Right, so that was Quinnen Williams who sent out a tweet. Quinnen Williams, one of the highest paid Jets, sent out a tweet like, you know, thumbs down or whatever when Rodgers and the Jets parted ways. But here's my question about what Aaron Glenn just said right there. You're planning to win right away?
Yeah.
You and who? How? Who's playing quarterback for this team? Like, you let your best option, your highest ceiling, you just for next season, you just let walk out the door.
Yeah. Right. I think it could be Tyrod Taylor, which would be so funny. But, hey, listen, if you're a Jets fan, you got to be somewhat psyched about all this. Like,
about what?
You got a tank coming your way fast and hard. Although they tend to win a couple random games. But I haven't heard any good play. You're right. I haven't heard. It seems like the only plan I've heard is Tyrod Taylor and maybe Kirk Cousins or something. But generally, it sure seems like the Jets are going to be awful next year.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm not 100% sure that, say you do execute the tank and you execute it perfectly and you get the number one overall pick. You know, they did this back in the 90s with Peyton Manning. It wasn't a tank, but they ended up with the number one pick. And Peyton Manning said, no thanks, I'm going to go back to school. That's how much I don't want to play for you. Or Bill Parcells technically wouldn't guarantee Peyton Manning, I guess, that he'd be the number one pick. So he went back to school. If you think Arch Manning is just going to mosey over to the Jets, well, I mean, we've got history that that's not going to happen with the Manning family.
Different owner. I think that was 98, true. Leon Hess. I think he sold in 2000 to Woody Johnson.
Yeah, and Woody Johnson has been better or worse?
I imagine the Mannings and the Johnsons are probably buddies. I would definitely say that they run in the same circles.
Yeah, the billionaire circles, but Peyton Manning gave the Jets the all-time worst advice they ever could have had, which is recommending Adam Gase as their head coach.
Yeah, but there's a relationship. Yeah,
a fruitful one.
I think the Mannings would take Arch in New York again, even if it was the Jets. Yeah, I do. First of all, I do think the Mannings and Johnsons are probably friends. I think Peyton probably has ties to that newer. It was a totally different team back then. Remember, they hired Rich Kotite in the 90s? They were as bad as they are now. There were some bad moments back then. So, but back to your Aaron Glenn. Like, no, Aaron Glenn has no chance to win here. And I hope the team has patience with him. Unless they do that Jets thing where they eke together some defensive wins. But what's the point of that? Or do you think they put maybe try and get Shador or Cam, like really trade their future to move up in the draft?
If those picks are even available, you know? See, that's the thing. I know the Tennessee Titans said that they're taking phone calls, but, you know, it sounds like you're going to have to really blow them away. And right. I would say that's not even smart for the Titans to do. You know, you got the number one pick. It falls in your lap because everyone else around you was, you know, couldn't execute the tank. The Patriots blew their tank. The Giants blew the tank. And all of a sudden, here you are with the number one overall pick. And by the way, you need a quarterback. So,
well, I got to tell you, though, if the Jets call me and say, I'll give you two first-round picks and more, you might think, oh, well, the Jets could be awful because of the Jets. And, whoa, that is worth it's going to be so much. So I do think you play that game. You're like, oh, man, maybe we fall to 7. We still get a super stud player. Because if you're going to draft Abdul Carter number 1, you might as well move down to 7.
Sure.
Get somebody else.
Or something, yeah.
So I think
7 might be too far.
I think
way too far. Abdul Carter will be gone by then.
No, but you could get a position player. I mean, like, you're going to get a great player at 7. Because if two quarterbacks go top 7, then you could really be in great position to get a quarterback next year, much stronger quarterback draft, and you'll have a better team around you. I can see that. I mean, listen, I think the Titans would say, ooh, the Jets. That could be a very, very good pick next year.
A mark? Just like, they're dumb.
Two first-rounders? Like, they haven't really made the playoffs. When was the last time they made the playoffs?
2010.
Yeah, like, that's a lot different.
2011, whatever.
Like, if the Eagles or Chiefs call you and say, we'll give you a first-rounder, you're like, no thanks, I don't need the 29 pick. But if the Jets call you, that could be a top-five pick, two top-five picks. You could build a dynasty around the Jets.
Okay, but here's the thing. So that's why it would make sense for the Titans to do it. If you're the Jets, do you actually want to send two first-round picks and then get, what, Shador Sanders?
Yeah,
you blow them up like you have every other young quarterback who's come your way? And by the way, Deion's going to be part of this and is going to be lighting you up in the media?
Right. But we start out with the premise that the Jets don't know what they're doing. So, yes, if I'm the Jets, the current Jets, yeah. No, it would probably be a mistake. But I don't know. Give me a better option. Tell me what Aaron Glenn should do a quarterback if he's like, I'm going to make these big man decisions. Okay, what's his decision?
Well, that's why I thought that getting rid of Rodgers was really short-sighted. And it was like, oh, we got to get this stink out of the building. It's like, or coach, or be a coach, and say, this is not how it's going to work right now. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is looking at, like, I don't know how many options he's going to have. He kept saying he wants to make it work. I don't know if the McAfee interview thing was a real deal breaker. If so, both sides look short-sighted on that one. But I didn't understand why they couldn't keep Rodgers, and you can still draft a quarterback, like, if you want to.
Well,
already paid him the money. It's like he's already there. And do you really, like, ask Jordan Love, has he been a bad mentor? I don't think so. And Rodgers was pretty chapped that they actually drafted Jordan Love, and he still mentored the kid.
Well, maybe they didn't think the age matched up. Aaron Rodgers can turn 42 this season. Maybe they think, well, we're not ready to win now with Aaron Rodgers. The team is not around him. The O-line is not around him. And it's a new coaching staff. Like, I get it. New coach, start over. Like, they're not. Aaron Rodgers make him better. They're not going to the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. And also, is Aaron Rodgers going to learn this new offense?
Why not? He'll tell you how smart he is. I mean, we all know that he's football brilliant.
Yeah, I feel like Aaron Rodgers should go. I love the Rams fit. Like, he should go to a team that's ready to win now. That's a much better fit for him.
Saying from the Jets' point of view, the plan B, unless something really reveals itself here, if you're telling me you really think Tyrod Taylor, who, listen, I love Tyrod Taylor, but he's not young. He's going to turn 37, I believe, in training camp, and he's a guy who's gotten hurt a lot, and he doesn't have a it's just like that can't, he's not going to get you through a full season.
I totally understand. Nobody except for the Jets seem to be interested in having Tyrod Taylor as a Jets starter.
But the funny part is just to say, let's win game. We're going to win right away. Like, I wouldn't tell the fan base that, because now they're going to start getting really itchy and antsy for wins here, and I don't think they can deliver.
No one's getting antsy for wins with Tyrod Taylor. I think Jets fans are not dumb, and they know that this will be an off year if they don't pay up.
Considering what they got from Rodgers, if they go out there and look at a Kirk Cousins, is that really that bad of a situation for the Jets?
Here's the one thing. Kirk Cousins already spurned you one time and made a fool of you,
you
because he
I
actually
like.
Took less money to go to the Minnesota Vikings.
Know who I like? They spurned him, but if Derek Carr comes free from the Saints, you're risking a lot because he gets hurt all the time, but... Man, that'd be a nice little transition.
I told you I thought that the Jets should go trade for Geno.
That one I don't love as much.
That was a bad breakup the first time, though.
Different regime. Different regime. I think they buried the hatchet. Geno has come back and played there again. He said everything was fine. I don't think it's like Sam Darnold. That still feels very fresh. Geno was back in 2012, 2013.
That's a good debate. I would take Carr over Geno. I think Carr's upside is higher.
You have to pay him more.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
For a bridge, why do I want to spend a lot of money?
I don't know. Because you might want to win now, to quote Aaron Glenn. For some reason, Geno just feels flat to me.
Mm.
I
think Geno's still got a little bit left here. And that's like a full circle moment if he can have end his career with the Jets. Maybe that's a happy story.
You know, Derek Carr's numbers towards the end of the last year were really, really good. Geno's had some good numbers, but
I know. You always tell me about Carr's numbers being good, and this is the one thing I'm just going to say about Derek Carr, and I'm not saying that Geno fits this. Derek Carr is not a winner.
Now, he was 13-3 his second year in Vegas, or Oakland at the time.
To be fair.
How long ago was that, Pearl?
Yeah.
Derek Carr is really good when nobody's looking.
Yeah, I mean, that's
true. When they're out of it. Right.
No, I mean, listen, Derek Carr's not been on good teams. And the problem is he can't stay healthy. Like, last year he was banged up all last year. He finally got healthy, and it was too late because the rest of the team was injured. He's Geno, too. They're both good quarterbacks. The question is, I think your question is, what are the Jets' big plan here? Who knows?
Yeah, I just think to say we're going to start winning now, it's why would you ever promise that? Let's get to our poll question for today, and it's at Maggie and Pearl on X. We asked you, who do you trust more to make the NBA Finals, the new-look Golden State Warriors with Jimmy Butler or the new-look L.A. Lakers with Luka Doncic? Right now, Lakers winning out, Pearl, 58% to 42%, and you can go vote. And you also think that the Lakers, you trust them more to make the Finals. You're with the crowd here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm terrified that the Lakers are going to come out of the West because I had some really strong comments against them. I was like, Luka and LeBron are going to win a title. LeBron's 40. Luka doesn't play any defense. Oh man, I regret all that now. Just seeing, watching them play lately, they're definitely a dangerous team. Now the Warriors are dangerous too, but I feel like if I'm like looking at the playoffs, Luka's won at such a high percentage of the postseason, and so is LeBron. I mean, actually, so have Jimmy and Steph. But I definitely am more scared of the Lakers. If I'm a contender, I don't want to see that team come in.
Yeah, I'm all about the Warriors right now. I don't want night-night and Steph Curry going night-night on my championship hopes, and I feel like he could do that to another team. Butler's inspired. They play really good defense. I trust Curry and Kerr together as a good coach and player combo.
That's so funny. I mean, the West is so crazy good. Like, the play-in tournament of the West is going to be brutal as well. And Golden State's probably going to be in that. And then they might get OKC in the second round. I feel like the Lakers have a path. That is, I'm going to not love it, but I think the Lakers have a real chance here.
Thank you to Manny Rodriguez and Ray Jarvis. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan, Weedos, Coffee Drinkers. You guys were awesome today and on the phones as well. We will be back tomorrow. The brand new show and a lot of fun. Thank you, Perloff.